Fox News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
And it is Larry Perel sitting in today.
Sure,
for, fitting in too is appropriate for Margaret Carrero. I'm Charles, and it is just 68 days until Donald Trump is sworn in again as President of the United States for a second term. On today's Countdown 2024, we're focusing on foreign and military policy under the incoming Trump administration, which means asking about things like the fate of Ukraine, the fate of NATO, and whether a Fox News host is up to the task of leading the world's biggest and most advanced military. But first, this.
Well, President-elect Donald Trump was in Washington, D.C. today to meet at the White House with outgoing President Biden. This, of course, a longstanding American tradition during the transition of administrations. It's a courtesy that Trump did not afford Biden back in 2020. You might remember that, of course, as Trump worked to overturn his election loss. The president-elect also met with the House Republican Conference, joking that he'd consider running for a third term if they wanted to change the Constitution for him.
Republicans have officially secured a majority for the next 2 years in the House of Representatives, although the size of the majority remains undetermined as several races are still too close to call. Over on the Senate side, Republicans voted to elevate Senator John Thune of South Dakota to majority leader, replacing longtime leader Mitch McConnell. Thune, in comments after his election, sounded a little bit like a man ready to rubber stamp most, if not all, of the Trump agenda.
And, of course, Donald Trump making some waves with his latest cabinet nominations, which, I guess to be diplomatic, have been, well, let's just say rather unconventional. Trump named billionaires Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to head a blue ribbon panel to root out waste and fraud in the federal budget. Just nominated highly controversial Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz to be the next attorney general. And one more shocker, Trump has named Fox News host and U.S. Army veteran Pete Hegseth as his choice to be the Secretary of Defense. Much more on that coming up now.
Yeah, U.S. foreign policy is about to undergo some pretty radical changes as Trump takes office. What could that mean for the fate of Ukraine? And what about that choice for the next leader of the Pentagon? Ben Hodges is a retired U.S. Army lieutenant general who served as the commanding officer of all U.S. Army forces in Europe. Ben, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for the privilege.
Let's first take Mr. Trump's choice for the Secretary of Defense. What do you make of it?
Well, of course, it is any president to nominate who they want to be there in their fill these cabinet positions. I think many people, security professionals, are a little bit surprised at the nomination of Mr. Hegseth, given his background.
Now, what does that mean, given his background? What do you mean by that?
Means that, I mean, you know, you were talking about somebody that's going to be the senior defense official who will run the Pentagon, run the entire Department of Defense. It's an enormous size and complex organization. And so it's not many jobs in the government that would be more challenging, I would guess. And so Mr. Hegseth, certainly looking at his background, does not seem to have a lot of experience for this. Now, that doesn't mean he can't or won't be a good secretary, but, you know, initial reactions from that I see from professionals out there, there's some surprise.
All right. Hegseth would lead the Pentagon, of course, with ongoing conflicts. We're talking about Russia's war in Ukraine, the Middle East, Gaza hostages, Iranian proxies in Lebanon, and an increasingly cozy relationship between Russia and North Korea. So what are the military implications, do you think, and should we be concerned about Hegseth in that capacity?
Well, look, America's strategic interests are the same, even though administrations are changing, and a new administration will obviously have some different approaches to dealing with these strategic interests. And that's what I'll be watching and trying to influence, frankly. I hope that the new Secretary of Defense, assuming he gets confirmed by the Senate, will place value in our alliance with our European allies, with NATO, that NATO is not a perfect alliance, but it's the most successful alliance in the history of the world. And, you know, we do not have enough capacity to do everything that we need to do in Europe, in Africa, in the Middle East, in the Indo-Pacific region. We need allies. And so I hope that he will prioritize protecting these relationships with our allies in Europe, as well as in the Middle East and in the Indo-Pacific region. That's important. The second thing, the priority for any Secretary of Defense has always got to be readiness of our forces. Are they trained, manned, properly equipped, and ready to do whatever tasks they're required to do? That is a huge challenge because it's expensive and it's hard work. And I hope that will be the priority for the Secretary of Defense.
Do you think, Ben, that because of his lack, Hegseth's lack of real experience when it comes to running a department as huge as the Department of Defense, do you think that that signals that it is Donald Trump who intends to actually, in effect, run the department?
Actually, I think it's more likely that what we'll see is a lot of direction coming from the national security staff. I mean, this was true in the Biden administration. The national security advisor and also in the previous Trump administration, national security advisor was directing a lot of things, working through the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, and the intelligence directorates. So how a second Trump administration organizes itself, who has the authorities, who sets the priorities, that remains to be seen. The nominee for National Security Advisor is a Congressman Walz from Florida, a retired Green Beret, a reserve component Green Beret with, I think, 4 combat tours. You know, I don't know much about his expertise other than that background, but he seems like a pretty serious guy. So I imagine he will have a lot to say about the priorities for the Department of Defense, where we use force. But, you know, everybody I know that's in the military always hopes that the government will use diplomacy and all of our economic tools before they resort to using military, that the military backs up diplomacy and economy in terms of American power, both from a unilateral as well as multilateral standpoint. And I hope that that will be the approach of this administration.
Do you think that because Mr. Trump has said that for his deportation plans, if necessary, he might resort to using the U.S. military on U.S. soil to help accomplish that goal, do you think that Pete Hegseth is likely to go along with that?
I think this is one of the questions that should come up in his confirmation. I mean, this is going to be one of the, I think, most challenging situations that the Pentagon and that our military leaders will find themselves in if civilian authorities turn to the military to use force inside the United States. I mean, there is precedent for it, but it's extremely rare. And no soldier I know ever wants to be put in a situation where they would have to use force against Americans. We have law enforcement. You have other agencies that are responsible for doing these kind of things. The military is different. And I think that the one of the jobs of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is to give his best professional advice to the Secretary of Defense and to the president on how to use the military. And I hope whoever the chairman is, whether it continues to be General Brown or whoever comes after General Brown, will have the ability to give that advice and counsel against using the military, unless it is in a totally proper, appropriate,
sure,
and legal way.
Sure. We are speaking with Ben Hodges, retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General, served as the commanding officer of all U.S. Army forces in Europe. I got to ask you this about Ukraine. Trump, you know, threatening to pull support, pull out of NATO. Ukraine, you know, what are the military implications? Should that happen? Should we be concerned about Hegseth in that capacity as well?
Well, the this war in Ukraine is not about Ukraine. It's about so much more. And it's in America's interest that Ukraine is able to actually defeat Russia, because our American prosperity is tied to Europe's prosperity, and Europe's prosperity depends on security and stability in Europe. Russia's attack against Ukraine put millions of refugees on the road into Europe, that has disrupted energy flows and food supplies, which affected gas prices and food prices in America. And of course, the Chinese are watching. The Chinese are watching to see, are we serious when we talk about sovereignty and international law and freedom of navigation and so on? And if we're not able to stop Russia on these things, then I think the Chinese will not be too impressed. So I do hope that the administration will look seriously at the strategic importance of helping Ukraine. This is not charity for Ukraine. This is about our own strategic interest. Now, clearly, our European allies have a critical role to play here. Most people probably don't realize that Europe provides a lot more military aid to Ukraine than does the United States. And even Germany is the number two overall contributor. Mm-hmm. So Europe is doing a lot, but they're going to have to take on even more because they will pay a huge price if we allow Ukraine to fail.
Ben Hodges, thank you for your time.
Thank you guys for the opportunity.
All right, Ukraine, not the only foreign power that should be nervous under a Donald Trump administration. Up next, we look at why our allies in NATO have reason to worry as well.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
And welcome back to Countdown 2024. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Larry Perel, sitting in today for Margaret Carrero. Well, during Donald Trump's first term in the White House, he reportedly had to be talked out of withdrawing the U.S. from NATO on multiple occasions. In his upcoming second tour as commander-in-chief and with a lot fewer guardrails in place, the president-elect could very well blow up the 75-year-old North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which has functioned as the foundation for the security of Western nations since the end of World War II.
Yeah, it's just one more example of how America's foreign policy is guaranteed to change drastically under a second Trump term. Tom Nichols is a staff writer for The Atlantic. He's also a professor emeritus of national security affairs at the U.S. Naval War College, where he taught for 25 years. Tom, if Mr. Trump, once he becomes president again, follows his announced inclination to perhaps buck NATO, what would the result be?
Well, bucking NATO is a pretty gentle way to put it.
Put it another way.
Eviscerate NATO.
Okay.
And the result would be that our enemies in the world, starting with Vladimir Putin and Russia, would take that as a sign that they have a free hand to act and that the United States is not going to fulfill its obligations as a global leader. If you're not going to lead NATO, you're not going to you're not going to be a reliable ally anywhere. And Trump can do this in a lot of ways. He doesn't have to just simply announce he's pulling out because he can't. By law, he would have to try to get through the Senate somehow, and even this Senate might not go along with him on that. But he can do things like he tried to do the first time, which is just to pull troops out of Germany, for example. He can order troops to come home. He's the commander in chief. He can move forces around at will, or order them to stand down, or order them to return to the United States. There's a lot of ways that he could do this, and he seems itching to do it because, despite Trump's really unfathomably incoherent policy twists and turns, he has had one North Star in everything he's done for decades, and certainly in his first term, and that is he pays excessive deference to Vladimir Putin and to the Kremlin. And so I think we're going to see some pretty bad things happen.
How would a U.S. abandonment of Ukraine shape your European politics? I mean, I'd imagine the EU would have to make some very difficult decisions here.
Well, first of all, a lot of people are going to get slaughtered because Putin has made it clear that if he can't control Ukraine, he will try and kill everyone who's in it, which is why he bombs civilians regularly. So on top of the death and destruction, it's a breathing space for Russia to rebuild its armed forces. And then I think what Americans ought to be worried about is that Putin will then try to test what's left of NATO. Because Putin has a serious, serious hatred of NATO that goes back to his Soviet youth. And he might attack someone on Eastern's NATO's eastern flank, and just to prove that NATO won't come to, you know, the aid of its allies. I think that would be an apocalyptic mistake, but Putin has made plenty of those kinds of mistakes. The other thing that will happen, even before any of that, is that the United States, leaving Europe and leaving NATO in the lurch, the Europeans will start making their own arrangements, and they'll start excluding the United States, not just from military affairs, but from diplomatic and political and economic affairs. And basically everything that we worked for 80 years, all the blood and treasure that we spilled winning World War II and keeping peace in the entire North Atlantic community, will start to go down the drain.
Right, we're talking with Tom Nichols, staff writer for The Atlantic. And when we come back from a break, Tom, I want to talk about a different problem in the world, maybe a problem for the U.S., and that's China, when we come back.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Countdown 2024, along with Larry Perel sitting in today for Margaret Carrero. I'm Charles Feldman.
All right, Tom Nichols from The Atlantic remains with us to finish off our preview of big foreign policy changes coming under Donald Trump.
Tom, in our last segment, we were talking a lot about Trump and Putin and Russia and NATO. What about China?
You know, China's an odd case because on the one hand, Trump, just as he does with Putin, seems to have this kind of man crush on Xi Jinping and how great they get along and what a great guy and what a strong leader he is. And then talks about, you know, how unfair our economic relations are with China and how we need a bunch of tariffs. The interesting thing will happen inside the Trump administration, because, again, I don't think Trump has a fully comprehensive view on China as he does on Russia. But there, he has just brought in two serious China hawks, his national security advisor, Mike Waltz, and Secretary of State designate Marco Rubio. And, you know, this is also a cabinet, supposedly, that's all done with, you know, neoliberal warmongering and, you know, competition and things like that. And so you know, it's going to be an interesting problem to see here exactly what it is that this administration thinks it's doing with China. Are they economic competitors and we need to have a better relationship with them and make the economic playing field more even? Or is this basically going to be what Tulsi Gabbard, who is now hit incredibly and unthinkably his nominee for Director of National Intelligence, or is this going to be what she would call warmongering? Which is it? Is China an enemy, or are they just an unfair economic competitor? And I think, unfortunately, this is going to be part of the problem of Trump foreign policy, just as it was the last time, which is that it's not going to be coherent and it's going to, you know, move back and forth. And it'll probably confuse our enemies as much as it confuses our allies, frankly.
All right. That's Tom Nichols from The Atlantic. Tom, thanks for being with us. Coming up on tomorrow's edition of Countdown 2024, if Donald Trump's nomination of Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz as attorney general is any indication, the legal fighting in this country over the next 4 years is going to be intense. The American Civil Liberties Union has promised to stand up to a second Trump administration. So tomorrow we will talk with the ACLU. If you miss this show at 2:30, you can catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts by just searching Countdown 2024 and following the show.